This Sunday, I have chosen the theme that was in our lectionary last week from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. And it deals with Jesus' commission to Peter about being the shepherd of the sheep. And rather than just reading that scripture first, I'll read it as I get there to address it and give you some background on the idea of shepherding. You know, we have a rather romantic view of shepherds. We grow up with it from the time we're little children, about the shepherds being in the field and the angels appearing to them at the birth of our Lord and Savior. What most people do not know or understand is that in Jesus' day and time, shepherds were looked down upon. They were pretty much at the bottom of the employment totem pole, just above beggars. Sort of the equivalent to someone that rides on the back of a garbage truck in our society today. And shepherds who didn't even have a fold where they could take their sheep and had to stay out in the fields all night were even lower on the totem poles than some other shepherds. Probably because our love of David and the early days of God's people and Abraham when they wandered around and being a shepherd with many flocks and many shepherds maybe endeared that to our hearts. The 23rd Psalm has certainly endeared that image to us. But when Jesus talked to the people of his day, who were mostly city dwellers and people who dwelled in towns, shepherds were pretty much hired help or the very poor of the poor. And that made a difference when Jesus chose to use the term shepherd for how he would like us to be as the church. So I want to share with you from his own words from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, when he says, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out from pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He is not a hireling, not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, who sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, to appreciate what Jesus tells John in the post-resurrection story, they've gone back to their profession, Peter and Andrew and James and John. They've gone fishing in Galilee. And as they come close to shore, Jesus has fixed breakfast for them. He smoked some fish. They've been out fishing all night. He tells them to cast their nets, and they bring in a tremendous catch of fish. And the lectionary reading picks up with these words. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to him, to tell him by what death he was to be glorified. And after this he said to him, "Follow me." See, this image of the shepherd and the sheep, this group of people looked down upon in Jesus' day and time, is the very image of what our Lord calls us, the church, to be. His flock. He is the shepherd. He is, as the Old Testament said, the one shepherd that unite all of the flock of God. And he entrusted that to Peter and to the church down through the centuries to hold on to this image. Even when they were starting out, remember their first ministry where he sent them out to witness? We studied that some weeks ago in our study on Wednesday nights. But in that, he said, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Luke shares the same story and says, "I send you out as lambs." That our Lord made himself vulnerable in this world. He came to do that. And he wants us to be vulnerable in the world. That's the way he intends us to show the very love of God. To be humble and vulnerable in our ministry, in our outreach, in our sharing of our Christian witness, that it may speak to the lives of others a way of living and a way of life that is different from the way of the world, that is seeking prestige and position and recognition and power. At the Last Supper, Jesus predicted that to his disciples, "You will fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the flock will be scattered." And he predicted that none other than Peter would deny him three times. So in this post-resurrection experience, he's giving Peter a chance to reclaim his place of leadership among the disciples. But that place is a place of service, not a place of honor and prestige. He's saying, if you love me more than these, and we're not quite sure what the these are, these other disciples, do you love me more than them? Do you love me more than these boats of yours that before you met me provided you a good living and you left them to follow me and now you're back in your boats again? Are you going to desert me and go back to your former profession? He wanted to know, do you love me more than these things, this tremendous catch of fish which was worth a lot of money? Do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. You know, Jesus had a soft spot for the underdogs of life. And the little lambs, the children, were people who never really got access to important people. But Jesus took the little children in his arms. He picked them up and put them in his lap. He loved children and youth who were looked upon as very little value. Jesus championed the position of women that were looked down upon in his day and time as of little value. Jesus took the cripple and the lame and the beggar and the tax collector and the leper and the outcast and said, you are important people. And he asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my lambs. He said, watch out after those who can't watch out for themselves. This is going to be the leadership you're going to have to provide to the church. You're going to have to take care of the vulnerable people. You're going to have to take care of the people who can't look after themselves, like children, those who are disenfranchised, those who are visitors in the church and not members. You're going to have to take care of those people. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. And then he asked him again, do you love me? And then he said, tend my sheep. I mean, what does it mean to tend the sheep? Well, tending the sheep meant leadership, oversight, protection. These were all functions of the shepherd. That you were to lead them out into pasture in the morning. You were to find for them good pasture. You were to protect them from danger by making sure there were no poisonous plants or snakes or no animals of prey that would destroy the sheep. You were there to defend them against anything that would attack them, to allow them to graze and eat and be a flock together. And then you were at night to lead them back into the fold where they were protected and cared for. And you usually slept across the entrance of the sheepfold so they couldn't get out and prey and thieves couldn't get in. It was the job of the shepherd to tend the sheep and to lead them and give them the opportunity to grow and prosper in the flock. Grow and prosper. Just as our speaker last week, Terry Hunt, told us, it's up to sheep to beget sheep, not the minister of the church, who is the shepherd. Then he asked him that third time, do you love me? Do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep. See that they get what they need to be nourished. But he didn't really hand-fed them. He just led them to where they can get what they needed to be his flock, his congregation. And we hear that passage that Jesus uses in Matthew 25 that's a little bit disturbing when he says, when the Son of Man comes in glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all of the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And one he will put on his right hand, and one he will put on his left. The sheep will be on the right, and the goats to the left. And that passage goes on with the familiar words, when you visited me, when you fed me, when you clothed me, when I was vulnerable, when you took care of anyone in that situation, you ministered to me, and those were the sheep that were gathered at his right hand to go into the kingdom. There's not a great deal of difference between sheep and goats. I did a little research on the web and found out one of the main differences, if you're at a distance, is that sheep hold their tails down and goats hold their tails up. So if at a distance you're trying to figure that out, that's one way to do it. Of course, in this country and in most places, we bob the tail of the sheep. But, you know, in some foreign countries, they let them grow, and sometimes they'll be this long and this wide. But that's a main difference. Another difference is goats are more aggressive. Goats are more inquisitive. They're more independent and doing their own thing. And sheep are more gentle and loving and like to be with others. My wife got a call from her mother, Emily Stewart, the other day because she'd had a rough night. Sometime during the night, she awoke to this sound like people were walking on her porch. And she's got a big country house at an intersection, and it's one of these porches that goes all the way across the front of the house and down the side of the house, and it's a wooden floor. And I mean, she just heard, and after a while it bothered her, and although she's a very timid, frightened woman to be 84 this week, she decided, I'm going to look out the window and see who it is, and I'm going to call the police. And she looked out, and there were a couple of goats. And she opened the door and tried to shoo them away, but they're so stubborn and so aggressive, they looked like they were going to charge her, so she went back in the house. And she had a neighbor who said, anytime, day or night, if something's bothering you, give me a call. So she did. And a couple of guys came down there and ran the goats off. Well, within an hour, they were back again, and she didn't call them. But the next morning, she called them, and they looked around the community, and about a mile and a half down the road, these two goats had gotten out, and they returned them. But one of the things that really disturbed her during the night is they just decided to have a little head-butting contest, right there in front of her bedroom, where they run, and you hear the boom, back and forth. Well, you can see why Jesus didn't want us to be goats. But a lot of times, the church looks more like a bunch of goats than it does a flock of peaceful, tranquil sheep. You see, Jesus chose the behavior of shepherds and sheep to portray the church. He talked about this with Peter to lead the church with the other apostles. couple of months ago, in my devotional time, I had this, what seemed to me, a revelation. I was reading in the Old Testament. I was reading about the shepherds who deserted their flock. During that time, I was thinking that it was time for me to leave this church. And I was praying, Lord, am I being a shepherd that's just deserting the flock? And this kind of strange revelation came to me. Now, I have to tell you, I grew up on Westerns. And so I think people in my age group know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I was just thrilled when we got color TV and you could actually see. I think Bonanza was one of the first shows in color. But I grew up on Westerns and World War II movies. And one of the things about America is we've never really quite embraced sheep and sheep herding. And back in those Western days, you know, they really thought that shepherds of sheep were the scum of the earth. Because America is cattle country. We're beef eaters. We don't eat lamb. We're beef eaters. And what the Lord revealed to me is that the American church is more like a herd of cattle. We have to go out and find them and rope them and brand them. That's the denomination. Push them together into a herd. That's the congregation. And if you want them to go anywhere, the trail boss and the trail hands, that's the pastor and the staff and the volunteers, have got to crack their whips and holler, guard them, and drive them where you want them to go. Our Lord intentionally didn't choose cattle as an example of the church. Because you see, sheep, they like to be together. They want to be together. Actually, they get agitated if they're not with at least four or five others. They work as a group to protect each other. If a wolf shows up and they can spot them from 1,500 to 2,000 yards away, they'll scatter, but they'll regroup and they'll try to stare down the wolf as a group. See, God wanted us to be strong like that, as a flock, as a congregation, as a people, that we have strength in numbers when we come together. That sheep are natural followers. I mean, we've seen the church, the American Catholic Church, in its independence from the rest of Catholicism. We've seen the trouble in the Episcopal Church in its independence and stubbornness with the rest of the Anglican community. But as a church in America, with our fierce sense of independence, we're more like a herd of cattle that has to be driven to do what we're supposed to do rather than be sheep who are led by a shepherd. In about 2 months, you will have a new shepherd. I hope you will decide to be a faithful flock. 1 Peter tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. It comes down to it, we have a choice. Are we going to be sheep or cattle? Are we going to be the sheep or the goats that Jesus separates on Judgment Day? Will we be on his right hand or his left hand? Let us pray. Gracious Father, it certainly goes against our culture to be a loving group of sheep led by a shepherd and shepherds. ever since we were children, we've heard the American way is to be independent, think for ourselves. Maybe that wasn't that different from the people of Jesus' day. Maybe that's why they reacted strangely and didn't understand when Jesus called them to be sheep and to follow a shepherd. When he said, I am the good shepherd, the one God sent to lead us all. At least in our lives as Christians, let us be willing to follow the great shepherd of the sheep. For we ask your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.